This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 17th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I'm not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now, I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Late last night, I got home from the Sugarlands, Texas, which is where we had our Synod's annual assembly. Now, if you don't know, Synod Assembly is our once-a-year meeting where we get all of the Texas, Louisiana, Gulf Coast together, all of the ELCA Lutheran churches, clergy, laity together, and we vote on things, we celebrate things that have been going on in the Synod for the last year, we look forward to the next year. Sometimes we even elect bishops, like we did last year when we elected Bishop Tracy. This year, we voted on new compensation guidelines and the Synod budget, so some very enthralling stuff. We celebrated some financial cleanup and transparency in the Synod office. Again, very enthralling. We also installed our new associates to the bishop, Pastor Cassandra Nagel and Deacon Amy Ellis. We heard video reports from every single one of the deans of our conferences in our Synod. And so we heard from Pastor Candy O'Meara, who is the dean of our conference, the Bayou Conference. We heard a message from Bishop Curry. We were led in Bible study by a staff member from Churchwide, which is our big presiding body that is stationed in Chicago. We heard about the Amparo Ministry, a ministry that helps immigrants. We listened to a pastor from Bethlehem, not Bethlehem Lutheran Church, but Bethlehem, Palestine. We heard him tell us about the war in Palestine and the violence that Christian Palestinians have been experiencing at the hands of the government. We went to lunch and learns like one led by Pastor Laura out in Kenner, on Christians against Christian nationalism. We heard about Bishop Tracy's strategic plan that came out of those listening sessions she did all across the Synod, the first one of which was here at Grace. And we learned about the World Council of Churches' ecumenical decade of climate change actions and voted to support the resolution. We did a lot at Synod Assembly. Two very long days of meetings. We did a lot, and we learned a lot. And that long list does not even include all of the singing that happened at Synod Assembly. We sang a lot. We sang during worship. We sang in between sessions, in between very fun things like the budget. We sang during Bible study. We even sang during Bishop Tracy's sermon. And then we sang in the hallways and in the bathrooms. Because all of those songs that had been going through our heads were stuck so completely, we could not keep from singing. Which really drove home the theme of Synod Assembly from this year. How can I keep from singing? This year's assembly theme was, how can I keep from singing? We talked a lot about the importance of song, how song is important for us as individuals. During Bible study, led by Rachel Wind, who is a staff member at Churchwide, she talked about how songs are important for our memories, for our brains. Music uses both hemispheres of our brain, and it activates a part of our brain that is so deeply ingrained that it can survive Alzheimer's and other memory loss. She told us about a story of being at the bedside of someone who was about to die. This person was unable to carry on conversation or remember much of anything. But when someone in that room sang the first line of "Jesus Loves Me," this woman on her deathbed finished the song. I know when we were in the hospital and my dad was struggling to even know who I was, when I played this Beatles marathon, he knew every single word. Song is so important to who we are as individuals. We have songs that just resonate in our hearts. And songs are important in community too. They help us to form our group identity. In worship, songs are the vast majority of what the assembly, the congregation, speaks aloud in unison. And speaking words together, singing words together, it forms who we are. Songs in community can get us through times that feel absolutely impossible. The pastor from Palestine talked about songs of resistance and liberation. How these songs help people to survive violence and oppression. Songs in community can be celebrations, like how we sing Happy Birthday on the first Sunday of the month every month. Songs are important for who we are as individuals and who we are as a community. And during our Synod Assembly this year, as I reflected on the importance of songs, I realized that our songs of faith serve one more purpose that is even more important. They connect us to God. Our songs of faith are prayers. Through them, we grieve and we receive God's comfort. We give thanks for God's grace and forgiveness. We ask for God's guidance and justice. We celebrate God's love. Our songs of faith are prayers, and they are prayers that do not cease. We sing far more in worship than we offer in spoken prayers. And after worship, it's the songs that usually stay with us. It's the songs that we find ourselves singing or humming in the car, in the hallways, even in the bathrooms, for the rest of the day. They are the prayers that do not cease. In Acts, the people prayed without ceasing, constantly devoting themselves to prayer. And I wonder how many of those prayers were in the form of song. For prayers that are sung, they have the power to unite us in ways that prayers that are spoken or just thought in our heads can't quite compare. My siblings, there is nothing quite like singing together, "Were You There?" on Good Friday, or singing "Silent Night" together on Christmas Eve, or singing "Alleluia, Christ is Risen" on Easter, or "Amazing Grace" when we lay someone to rest. There's nothing quite like singing together "A Mighty Fortress is Our God" on Reformation Sunday, or "This Little Light of Mine, I'm Gonna Let It Shine" when a whole community of faith is ready to share the love of Christ with the world. There is nothing quite like hearing or feeling a multitude of voices coming together to sing to God. In our gospel lesson, Jesus prays that we would be one, just as Jesus, Spirit, God are one. It's our songs of faith that unite us across generations, across status, across political beliefs, across experiences. They can even unite us across cultures and languages. For even when we don't know what the words mean, we know the tone of the melody and the emotion it conveys to God. Songs, they are the prayers that have the power to unite a whole community. So today I have a challenge for all of you to think of a song of faith, that when you sing it, it feels like a prayer. It might be a prayer of grief, of joy, of call, of love. Take a moment to think of one. That song that speaks so deeply to your heart, it is a prayer, a conversation with God. If you have trouble thinking of what that song is, I give you a little cheat sheet in the very back of your hymnal. On page 1205 are our list of hymns. Take a moment to think of that song, that when you sing it, it's not just a song, it's a prayer. And now, because our songs are meant to bring us together as a community, I am going to ask you to speak to one another. So, I want you to turn to people sitting around you and form a group of about 4 or 5 people and share what that song is. What is the song that speaks to you so deeply? It is a prayer. Go ahead and break into a group and share that song and share why. chance to share your song, please do. My siblings, my hope and my prayer for you is that at least one of those songs is stuck in your head all day for the rest of the day, because I know Barbara has now got "What Wondrous Love Is This" stuck in my head for the rest of today. But more seriously, our songs of faith are powerful. They're meaningful. They tell the story of our relationship with God, and they offer us so, so much as individuals and as a community. They have the power to bring us together and to help us understand one another, and more importantly, love one another. So, may these songs of faith, whatever they are, be the prayers that never cease. Amen.